Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're living, but in Philadelphia, it is hot. And so I am going to move on with my show. I am doing my show out in nature, beautiful park. And so I'm going to move on so I can move on to some air conditioner. Today, my guest is Pastor Carolyn Porter, who will not be doing her usual Word of Wisdom, her mama says, segment, because she's going to be doing her monthly answer and question and answer period. So welcome, Pastor Porter. How are you?
I'm blessed today, trying to stay cool, but I'm fine. How are you?
I'm hot. I hope wherever you are, you are cooler than I am. Oh, goodness. So we are going to go ahead and get some questions shot to you and let you go ahead and answer them. Every month we have Pastor Porter from Philadelphia, Good Shepherd Community Church of God in Christ, answer some questions. So I ask everyone to send in some questions that you would like Pastor Porter to answer. And so I've chosen about 6 or 7, maybe 8 of them, depending on how much time we get to. So if your question is answered, you're good for getting it answered because we have so many questions. But let's get to them. Are you ready, Pastor?
I'm ready.
Oh. So let's start with one of the most talked about questions. I'm sure people have these issues all the time. I see it on Dr. Phil and television quite often. So the first question is, my mother-in-law is the biggest meddler in my husband and my relationship. How do I get her out of our business respectfully?
Very good question. Very good question. Very good question. Well, pondering that, and I am a mother-in-law. Oh, gosh. Pondering that, two schools of thought come to mind. Mm-hmm. Particularly, let's talk about the young bride or the bride, the wife, that's Christian.
Okay.
And I'm going to refer to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, where it tells us, for this reason, it says a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so the point I see right off the bat is it's the husband's mother that is the mother-in-law.
Right.
And so she may have to work through her husband because it bespeaks of his maturity as well as her own. But mm-hmm. it speaks to the maturity of their of the individuals and the depth of their relationship. So if he truly walked away as he should, as a good son, he's been a good, faithful son, he's taken a wife, he may have to refer back to dad even to help him, to tell his mom, let his mom, listen, you guys have raised me. You've made your mistakes. You made all your mistakes with me, shall we say. Allow my wife and me to make our mistakes and reinforce the fact that we are one. And so if it's offensive or disturbing or distracting to my wife, then it thusly is disturbing and distracting to me. That's one answer. So you can refer the Christian wife to the word of the Lord. Another scripture that came to mind real quick is in Timothy chapter 5, the 11th verse, 1 Timothy, and that says to the mother-in-law, if the son is bold enough, or even if the wife, if the bride or the wife is still, she can say this discreetly, you know, diplomatically, that the Bible says to be not busybodies in other men's matters. She may be standing at the door when she say that and ready to run out. Again, it just kind of speaks of the maturity of the two individuals and the relationship. And let her know that I'm just sharing what the word says, you know. Don't be gossipers and busybodies talking about things that are not proper to be spoken of. Allow me to make my mistake. And then sometimes, you know what, I've referenced to the scripture, but sometimes it just boils down to just grabbing hold of the mom, giving a big old hug and tell how much you love her, and you just appreciate all that she's doing, and I know you want our relationship to develop and be strong, et cetera, et cetera. But can you just let me come to you with the questions or difficulties that I'm having, should I have any? And I think that might work, you know. You don't want to ginger strife and be ugly and indifferent and nasty. So sometimes that's the course it takes. But most of all, you have both individuals, son and the wife, have to be patient because they've been, you know, under mommy's thumb and under mommy's house and mommy's rule for so long. Sometimes it's just difficult, and you have to recognize she maybe has difficulties, issues with letting go.
Okay, so I'm going to stretch you a little bit. So what do you do with that husband who's not strong enough or won't stand up, who won't man up and say, Mom, listen, give us our space? What do you do then? What does the wife do then?
Well, again, you know, we pray. In all things we ask the Lord for divine direction and divine guidance. So you may have to refer to that. And you may have to even approach the father-in-law and ask him to speak to your son and to speak to his wife. You may have to sit down and have a family gathering, you know, family meeting, and say, I'm stressed or I'm struggling with something. You know, more than anything, the Bible says to seek peace and to pursue it. Run after it and overtake it. So sometimes you just have to be peaceful in a difficult situation, but you just have to stand your guard, speak your mind, and be respectful, whatever the outcome is.
Okay. Well, and all that's considering part of your answer that there is a father-in-law, because maybe that's why the mom cleaves so hard, because there is no father-in-law, or she doesn't have someone who's occupying her time and her attention.
Exactly. And it just has, you have to know the players. You have to know her makeup. It may take days, weeks, months, and even years, you know. And you may have to seek the guidance or the help of outside parties. It just depends on how serious and how deep it gets. And sometimes you just have to, you know what, accept it and say, do you, boo? Do you? I can't fight anymore. You know what? I love the movie Mother-in-Law Monster, Monster Mother-in-Law. They came to blows. They did some of everything. But in the end, when the bride threw up her hands and says, you know what, I'm done. I'm through. You win. It was when the mother-in-law came around and said, you know what, let me back up, let me back away. But sometimes you do have monster mother-in-law.
Are you a monster mother-in-law?
I am not a monster mother-in-law.
Okay, so go on.
And our next question.
It says, someone said, I received a prophecy from a prophet who I believe is a real man of God and a true prophet. A week later, I got a different prophecy from a different prophet. I believe him to be real and a true prophet of God as well. The problem is the prophecies are contradicted. One, do I believe?
Well, my response to that, my thought to that, and I've had this question posed to me more times than not. My experience with that is, again, let me refer to the word of the Lord, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where it says, try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. So this is what I think. Somehow or other, when the word of God is spoken, no matter how much respect you have for prophet A and prophet B, they're still human. And God is God, and when he speaks to you concerning your matters, you should get a connection, you should get a quickening, you should get a knowing in your spirit. And if you don't, then you can always go back to God for yourself. You don't have to approach prophet one or prophet two, prophet A or prophet B. You can go to the word. And whatever the Holy Spirit says, you can find it. If not, shall I say, if not verbatim, you can find the principle in the Bible. And it's not going to be contradictory. Am I making sense?
That makes sense. And I was thinking, you know, how there are times in your life when you maybe be wishing or hoping to get a word from God and to tell you which direction to go. And the real answer may not be something that you really, really want to do. God's real word, the word he really sent for you, may not be the word that you want or what the position you have to take or the place you have to go. But then someone comes right back, which is a setup from the enemy, and gives you a totally different word that goes with what more along the lines of what it is you want to do, not necessarily God's will. So
the other thing, let me just stick this in there. You have to realize, and again, there's nothing wrong. Now, like I said, you don't have to go back to prophet A, prophet B, but sometimes you have to, because many times you have different requests, different desires, different things in operation in your life that you do need divine guidance on. Mm-hmm. You understand? So It's nothing wrong with going back to the prophet and saying, you spoke a word into my life and I received it, or I'm just not clear, and ask them for their interpretation or ask them to pray with you again. Now, many times when I've been in meetings and I've spoken, the Lord's given me a word for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 10, 20 people, I can't always pull what the Lord spoke to Sister Ann at that moment. But then by the same token, sometimes there is a refreshing word that comes, a fulfilling word. And the other thing I want to say, the Bible says, again, that we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which we have been given in part is perfected, and we understand. In other words, the Holy Spirit may say this, that, or the other. Amen, amen, to this over here. And he may say no to that over there. And you may not know, well, which is A, which, just go back to him. And I encourage this in your secret closet. you into your secret closet and tell the Father, I want to obey you. I heard this from the man or the woman of God. Settle in my spirit, because I only got a portion of the word. It didn't quite tell me. And he'll make it plain. He will make it plain.
Good answer, good answer. Okay, I'm going to skip to one while you're in the spiritual vein, and says, someone has, go deeper in God. What does that mean practically? So I guess they're asking for what are the exact steps. What do I do? What do I physically or spiritually do to go deeper in God?
I think the first thing you need to do is make a determination, make a decision that this is what I really want to do. I want to have, for an example, I want to have a richer prayer life. You know, I want to be more consecrated. Look yourself over and see what it is you really want the Lord to do for you, or where you really want to be. What is your vision of a deeper? Because what's deep for you may not be deep for me, you know. And where I want to go in the Lord may not be where someone else would want to go. Or even, you may not even have the, qualifications. You may not have the mindset. You may not even be able to move in that vein. You understand? And then I suggest the next thing would be to plan to seek the Lord. But in seeking him, you're going to seek him through his word. And you're going to seek him through prayer, where you actually knuckle down with your pen and your paper or your tape recorder, whatever, and your highlighters, and mark down what the Lord is saying through the word, and then what he speaks to you in prayer according to what you're asking him. Thirdly, I would say you need to cut out, eliminate all distractions. Because if the Lord, if you want to be more consecrated, then you might need to cut off the television. Like I often say to the young lady, one of the young ladies you had on from North Carolina that shared with you several weeks ago when she was younger, I said, we both like to watch Matlock. I love whodunits. And I said to her, did you watch Matlock this week? Yeah, Miss Carol. Oh, yes. He was on 5 days this week. Yeah, I caught him all 5 days. I said, so that was 5 hours. Like, yes, yes, yes. And did you see this chapter, or did you see what happened on this day? After we laughed and talked a little bit, I said, so you gave Matlock 5 hours. Yep, 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 she said. I said, did you give God 5 hours of your attention? And I just stopped her in the tracks. She said, oh, Miss Carol. I said, you mean you spent more time with Matlock watching me than you did praying and talking and in the Word of God? I'm not saying you've got to spend 5 hours or an hour at a time, but you cut the distractions and give God. So you know what? I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm going to spend time in the Word. When you want to go deeper, that's what you do. When you want to go deeper, you say, you know what? I liked the Sunday school lesson. There was something in it that really struck my fancy. Let me take the Sunday school book out for lunch and read that. Or how about this? You know what? I love my cup of coffee at Starbucks, at Wawa. I love doing that. When I want to go deeper, I say, Lord, I'm going to give you that 15 minutes. I'm going to take the half hour. And I'm just going to sit in your presence because I want to seek your face. I want to hear your word. That's how you get deeper with the Lord.
So I want to, yeah, I want to ask, add on a question to that. So, because I know when I was younger, I used to think about that. So then when you say to sit in his presence, when, and I'm talking practically now, when you're practically, you're literally sitting and you're either singing a song or you're just waiting or you're just reciting scriptures or you're just meditating, what vision do you have in your literal eyesight? When you're sitting in his presence, am I supposed to see myself at his throne? Am I supposed, what is my literal vision? What am I seeing? When I close my eyes, what am I seeing? I guess it's not literal.
For each person, it will be different, again, where you are, where you want to be, and also where the Lord's guiding you.
Mm.
Okay? Now, let me just say this. I can be washing dishes, using myself as an example, being in the kitchen washing dishes, and there's a song that says, "Oh, sweet wonder." And if that begins to turn in my spirit, just hear the song in my mind, it can, in a matter of 3 minutes, reduce me to tears. Because it just,
mm-hmm.
It just takes me in. We were in our meeting up in York, Pennsylvania,
York.
Our workers' meeting, and the choir sang that song. Woo! I'm telling you, it just took everybody somewhere. So it just kind of depends on where your walk is and where the Lord is leading and guiding you. And just like that song does it, there's another song when I just begin to say, "I need thee. Oh, I need thee." I mean, I can just, it just shuts down the worries and the frustrations, the cares of the day or of my life. And I just know, God, I just see him. And I'm talking to him. And I just see his hands extended to me or maybe whatever it is I'm praying about. Different ones have called up and say, "Pastor, pray for this, Pastor. I need help, Pastor, this. And sometimes it's just overwhelming, Sister Amber.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just stand up and just lift my hands and say, "God, and just sing the song. Sometimes it's just a matter of another thing that works real good is to just turn on the Word channel sometimes. I'll just use that word, mm-hmm. Christian program, and just sit down and just tune in to what the preacher or the teacher is saying. Various ways to, sometimes it's just a matter. I've gotten up at the seashore early in the mornings while everybody was still sleeping or vacationing, and I got up and opened the draperies and the blinds and just stood there and looked out over the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and just began to just tell the Lord how excellent, how wonderful, how marvelous he was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking out at the waves just coming in. I just visualized Jesus walking on the water. So, I was just so there.
Right. Okay. So I think we're going to have time for just about one more question. So I'm going to pick. Let's answer this one. What are the best tools to move on from a dead relationship, someone asked?
Dead relationship. Well, I don't know how much time we have. I just get caught up in my answers and talking. I love this. But I think the first thing that came to mind with that question is honesty. Whoever is having the consideration, the recognition that something is awry in this relationship, first has to be honest with themselves. You got to look, and you may have to look deep into your own heart and mind, your own intentions, you know, where you are and why are you where you are. Who brought you here? You know, you just need to do an honest examination of yourself. And be open. Next thing I would say is be open and transparent. Now, you may choose to be open and transparent with a parent, with a counselor, with your mom, your parents, and eventually, when you get to the person that's in your relationship with you, you've got to be open and transparent with them. Just open it up. I've cheated, or you've cheated on me. You know, you hurt me. I hurt you. I've grown beyond you, or you've grown. You have to own it. You have to own where you are. That's the second thing. And thirdly, I think you've got to be able to communicate it. You can't cry it out. You've got to say, this is what it is. It is what it is. And let me outline it for you. State it. And lastly, you have to have the courage to walk away.
Walk away. Yep.
That's it. You may have to back away. You may have to slip away. You may have to get somebody to say, pick me up at the corner.
Right.
You have to have the courage. When you recognize that dead is dead and there is no resurrection power to get this relation up and going again, you got to accept it, communicate it, take the courage to walk away.
Now, let me ask you, should you allow yourself room in your process of moving on to slide back into it? One or two
dead, dead is dead. When you recognize and accept that this relationship is dead. It's not going anywhere. It's not benefiting me, or I'm not benefiting them. There is no resurrection power here. That means life is not coming back into this relationship. No. Take the courage. End it. Walk away. Excuse me. I love the phrase, huggy, huggy, kissy, kiss, bye-bye. And just leave. End it.
No looking back.
Cry if you must. You know, pray if you must. Do all. But recognize that it's over, and let it be.
Wow. Well. Okay. So, quick question. Let me add to it. So would you also recommend that for relationships that might have happened years ago and so you have a reconnection and years later you look back and you see this relationship, should you reconnect it or keep on moving?
It just depends. If you've grown and he's grown or she's grown or the church has grown, whatever, you may be able to go back because time heals all wounds. So you may be able to, it just depends, and you may go back and reconnect and say, you know what, it's still the same. The person is still the same. Basics don't change. And so you may have to back away with a smile, huggy, huggy, kissy, kissy, bye-bye.
Well,
some things are fixable and some things are not.
Some things are fixable, some are not. Well, I thank you for being on our show tonight. Those of you who have questions, send them. I will try to get them. Join us next week, next Thursday, on Teachable Moments. Thank you, Pastor Porter. Have a good night.
It's my good pleasure. Bye-bye.